Welcome back to the Community Christian Church Downers Grove podcast. This week, we're joined by Community's Stucco and First Impressions director, Garrett Cook, as we kick off a brand new series entitled World's Gone Mad. The series will take a look at the three places we direct our anger and how grace can help us release that anger and find peace with God and other people. This message was recorded live in Downers Grove on Sunday, July 7th. Community in Downers Grove gathers on Sunday evenings at 4:30 p.m. at 4501 Main Street in Downers Grove, Illinois. We are sharing space with our friends at Gloria Day Lutheran Church. A new home just for you is opening on September 15th in Downers Grove. Visit welcomehomedg.com to learn more. Follow us on social media at Community Downers Grove on Facebook and at Community DGR on Instagram. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you on a Sunday soon.
Montage. Our creative team put that together, and I think it points to what is universally funny, right? Other people being angry. But you know what's not so funny is when we are the ones who are angry, and we do get angry, don't we? We get angry at politicians and the weather and traffic. Oh my. We even get angry at the face that we see in the mirror. It seems like the world has gone mad, doesn't it? How many of you in this room even have gotten mad within the past, let's say, week, 24 hours? Some of you angry right now? That's okay. That's okay. You're in good company, actually, because there was a survey that went out by NBC News and Esquire that surveyed 3,000 Americans. And of those people, it found that half of us say that we are angrier today than we were a year ago. Nearly 70% of us say that we get angry at least once a day at something that we see on the news. You want to know the craziest part about this? This survey was done in January of 2016, before the most recent election. So I can only surmise that it's gotten worse from there. The whole world has indeed gone mad, but maybe there's a better way. James, the brother of Jesus, writes, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Everyone should become, or should be slow to become angry. Many of you have probably heard this verse before. We've even talked about it here at this church, but we probably haven't looked or thought about why. Why is that important to be slow to become angry? Well, if you keep reading in verse 20, he explains, "Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." What James is saying is that if we really desire to see God's purposes realized in this world, we need to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves, because we are getting in the way. Our anger is getting in the way of God's kingdom coming here on earth as it is in heaven. And there is indeed a better way. Over the next 3 weeks, we are going to do our best to discover that better way. As you could probably guess by now, we're starting a new series called The World's Gone Mad. And our hope is that during this series, we will learn to release our anger and frustration and find the peace that God offers all of us. And to pursue that peace, we're going to look at the three main areas where we direct our anger. So in 2 weeks, we're going to take a look at how we get mad at them and how we point our anger, we point our fingers at the world. We get frustrated with the things that we see out there. Next week, we're going to talk about how we get mad at us. And if we're being honest with ourselves, for those of us who are Christ followers, we get mad at each other in this crazy world. And we're going to start today by looking at how we get mad at me. Because let's face it, the person who we're often most mad at is ourselves. We all do things that make us mad at ourselves. Sometimes they're small things. Let me give you an example. So a couple of weeks ago, my wife, my son Judah, and I were going to a friend's birthday party in the city. And we weren't late. We were just pushing it. Okay, and so for those of you who know the roads around here, we were trying to merge from 88 to 290 East. and it was under construction at the time. And in a lapse of concentration, I found myself merging onto 294 North, going the wrong direction, and I was so mad at myself. But not nearly as mad as when my GPS rerouted and told me that it was 7 miles until the next exit. So I had to go 7 miles the wrong way to turn around and then go 7 miles just to get back to the spot where I made that mistake. And I was so mad at myself. We all have these things, right? That we just get frustrated with ourselves for. Sometimes they're small and dumb, but sometimes it's more significant. So right around Easter of this year, I had somewhat of a personal awakening. Thanks to a mentor of mine who really challenged me, a really influential book that I read, and ultimately connecting with God, I started to see myself more clearly and started to be really honest with myself. And one of the things that I realized, without getting too deep into it, is that I waste a lot of energy trying to shape other people's opinions of me. And what happens is I get mad at myself when I sense that other people are viewing me poorly. Then, at an even deeper level, what happens is if I'm wasting my energy trying to shape other people's opinions of me, it leaves very little time for me to actually focus on what really matters in life. Mainly connecting with God and partnering with Him with what's going on in the world. So when I am able to take a step back and look at my life as a whole, and I see that I'm wasting energy doing that, I really feel like a failure. Now, we all get mad at ourselves over our failures. Some of us live with those failures right at the front of our mind at all times. We're fully aware of what they are. Some of us have become experts at hiding them away or acting like they don't even exist. But if we're being honest with ourselves, we all have regrets. And almost all the time, these regrets fall into one of two categories. Category number one is things that we do. These are things that you just want to hit your head and be like, why did I do that? Lies that you've told, mistakes that you've made, relationships that you've torpedoed, money that you've wasted, addictions that you've fed. Why did I do that? We regret things that we've done. The other category is things that we don't do. So maybe it's an opportunity that we've missed, or time that we've wasted, money that we've blown, love that we have left unexpressed, or forgiveness that we've withheld from someone. So in the short term, we definitely beat ourselves up for the dumb things that we do, but in the long term, we tend to regret the things that we don't do. Things that we do or don't do are the things that haunt us. And we all know what it's like to feel stuck. But what I want for us to do today is I want for us to challenge each other and be honest about the ways that we are mad at me. Hopefully you're not all mad at me, but you know what I mean. Mad at yourselves, right? And so when you walked in today, you received a response card, a card that says mad at me on it. You can go ahead and pull that out. If you didn't get one, go ahead and raise your hand and an usher will bring one to you now. And you'll see on there a number of different categories, from relationships to health to finances. And later on, we're going to give you a few quiet moments to reflect on an area of your life where you feel regret. And I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will work in these moments, because it's hard to be honest with ourselves, but I truly believe that when we do, God opens the path to peace. And especially when we identify these things that we regret, things that we've done or not done. And we can all identify, right? I think we've got a few people here who still haven't gotten cards, if our ushers could find them. We all know what it's like to feel stuck when things that we've done or haven't done, right? And it's frustrating. It might even feel a little something like this. Yes. We just need to let go and move forward, but it's hard. So, sorry, things were getting a little heavy in here, talking about like past regrets. Just had to lighten the mood a little bit, throw that video clip in there. But we probably are all wondering, like, how do I get unstuck? How do I let go so that I can move forward? And what we're going to do today is look at three realities that God gives us that are anger-releasing realities to help us let go of the anger that we have towards ourselves in order to more fully embrace the grace that God is offering us. Are you guys ready for those realities? Are you ready? All right. Reality number one is that God erases our guilt. So in Paul's letter to the Roman church, he says, "Everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard." So if we were in a courtroom right now, this verse would be the clear declaration of the verdict that we are all guilty. Now, before you start beating yourself up for all of your past failures, keep in mind that what Paul is saying here is that we are all in this together, not just like High School Musical. We all are in this together in terms of falling short of God's glory. And he goes on in verse 24, he says, "Yet in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins." In his grace, he makes us right in his sight. So we are not defined by our biggest failures and shortcomings and sins. Don't get me wrong, God takes our sins very seriously. That's why the word penalty is used here. He doesn't just say, "Oh, don't worry about all of your sin. It's fine. We'll just forget about it and grace and you're good." He uses the word penalty because there's a price that needs to be paid, a price that you and I actually cannot afford. But what this is saying is that although the price was heavy, although our sins and our failures and our shortcomings are big, God's grace is just bigger. And one of the beautiful things of the message of the gospel that we believe as Jesus followers is that God doesn't just brush our sin aside. He takes it very seriously, and God the Father actually sent his son Jesus to pay that price that we cannot afford so that through faith, by the power of the Spirit, all of our guilt can be erased. Now, something that I hear often in conversation is that many people live consumed by something that we refer to as shame. And what I sense is that we often confuse guilt and shame. Shame is not from God, and it never will be from God. So in preparing for this message, I discovered what I think is somewhat of a helpful distinction between the two. So guilt is anger, sadness, or frustration over things that we have done or not done. Shame, on the other hand, is anger, sadness, or frustration over who I am. You catch the difference there? Shame is not from God. But what is from God is a healthy, godly sorrow over things that we have done or not done. Paul explains this further in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. He says, "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death." So when we choose to repent, and the Greek word, which is the original language for repent here, literally means to turn. So when we turn away from the bad decisions that we've made and turn towards God, God completely wipes away our past. It's a lot like turning around on a highway, right? Even if it takes 7 miles to do so, as soon as you turn, you are able to make that decision as to whether or not you look in the rearview mirror at the mistakes that you've made. Because what God is telling us is that you don't have to worry about it anymore. It's gone. It's in the past. So what Paul's telling us is that if you have a lingering sense of regret or shame for something that you've already been forgiven for, then that is not from God. Know this reality today. God erases your guilt. That's reality number one. Number two is God's grace defines our identity. Friends, we are in a war right now, a war between good and evil, right and wrong. And in that war, we have an enemy. Jesus refers to this enemy as the father of lies. And one of the lies that he would seek for us to believe is that we are defined by our failures. But friends, there's a big difference between failing and being a failure. So there's a quote from Oscar Wilde from a play that he wrote. And he says, "The only difference between saints and sinners is every saint has a past and every sinner has a future." Now, my take on this quote is that he is making a playful jab at religious people, saints, who brag about their past and they live confident because of how good of a person who they've become. While non-religious people or sinners, they at least are able to look ahead to the future and enjoy life. Now, there might be some validity to this critique, but I think the bigger issue at play here is how we have a tendency to lump people into two categories based on how good of a person they have been previously. And if you cross that line of being a good enough person, you become a saint. If not, you are a sinner. But what if, Oscar, we all were sinners and we all have the ability to become saints? And what if it actually has nothing to do with our previous record of how good of a person that we have become? Remember Romans 3:23? "For all have sinned and fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet we are made right in his sight through faith in Jesus." Did you know that a Christ follower is never in the New Testament referred to as a sinner? Sure, as Christians, we make mistakes. We screw up. We do things that cause distance between us and God. But our name, our identity, our sense of self that we carry with us should never be sinner, because when we embrace God's grace, we are given a new identity. You want to know what that new identity is? Take a look at these beautiful words from Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 6. "All praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace that he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son." Now, this is one of the most beautiful word pictures that we have of the new identity that we are given when we decide to follow Jesus. Now tell me, where in this picture do you see that our identity is earned based on things that we have done or not done? Things that we've achieved or our shortcomings? Where is it in there? It's nowhere. In fact, the most important thing about us, there's nothing we can do to achieve it. All we can do is receive it. Because as Christ followers, the foundation of our life has nothing to do with anything that we do or don't do. Our foundation is built on something that has already been done. And based on our faith in that thing, that person, God calls us children of God. He calls you a daughter of God. He calls you a son of God. We are called children of God. Think about the adoption picture here. When a child is adopted into a family, they are given all of these new rights. They're given a new name. They're given new family relationships, new legal standing and privileges. And this is all something that is given to them. All they need to do is receive it. Our identity as Christ followers is not based on what we do or don't do. It's based on something that has already been done. Something that's really cool, I think, is interesting about this is this message, this idea is unique to Christianity. Pastor and theologian Tim Keller describes it this way. A gospel is an announcement of something that has happened in history, something that has been done that changes your status forever. Other religions say this is what you have to do in order to connect with God forever. This is what has, but the gospel says this is what has been done in history. This is how Jesus lived and died to earn the way to God for you. Our failures don't define us. In God's grace, he gives us a new identity as a son or a daughter of God. And when that happens, the pressure is taken off of us. And I hope that even in this moment, you can start to catch a glimpse of what that feels like, because it's liberating when you no longer have to prove to the rest of the world who you are, when it's just given to you. It's liberating. And only then can we truly start to look ahead to the future, which brings us to reality number three. God's grace guarantees our future. Now, it's a sobering reality to know that you can't change your past. And some of you sitting here this evening probably wish that you could change your past, and you are mad at things that have happened or things that have happened to you. Or maybe you're just sad. Maybe your marriage has fallen apart. My heart aches with you, but the reality is that that can't be changed. For others, maybe you said something or did something, or there's something that you wish that you had done, and those memories are so painful, but you can't go back and change what has already been done. Maybe it was something that wasn't your fault at all. Something was done to you, and the pain goes beyond words. And you have all of these questions still in your head, justifiably, but you still cannot change what happened. I can't change what I've done or what has happened to me. You can't change your past. But one thing that God promises us is that he can guarantee our future. Listen to this life-giving reminder from Paul in Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Think about this picture just for a second. Of all of your past failures and regrets being dropped away, and you standing confidently in God's presence, just soaked in his glorious presence, feeling nothing but love and acceptance and belonging. That is the grace in which we can now stand. And when we stand in that grace, we have hope for a future. I love how Paul talks to the church in Philippi. In Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14, he says, I focus on this one thing, which is kind of funny because then he gives them two things. But one idea, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Now, when Paul says forget, he doesn't mean that our memory is erased. But the word here actually means thoughtless inattention. So it's kind of like when you're able to turn the car around in the highway and go the right direction. You can choose to look in the rearview mirror, but most of the time, that's not helpful. You can treat your past mistakes with thoughtless inattention and allow for God to take you in the direction that he wants you to go. So I wonder, what failure from your past do you need to start treating with thoughtless inattention? So if you would, pull those cards back out. And my hunch is that over the past several minutes, you've thought of an incident or an area of your life that is steeped in regret. Maybe it's something that you've done, Maybe it's something that you haven't done. In just a minute here, we're going to have some time as communion is passing to actually circle one of those categories. And I want you to be as honest with yourself as possible. No one else is going to look at this card. This is between you and God, unless you want to talk with someone about it afterwards. Allow for the Holy Spirit to make known to you an area of your life where you are actually mad at yourself. And look at this encouraging word from Max Licato as you think about that in your head. He says, "The wasted years of life, the poor choices of life, God answers the mess of life with one word, grace." And as you look at those categories, I want you to remember these three realities that God gives us. God erases your guilt. God's grace defines your identity. And God's grace guarantees your future. My challenge to all of us today is to embrace God's grace, to no longer allow what has happened or didn't happen to have power in your life, to release any anger that you have toward yourself so that you can fully embrace the grace that God is offering you. That is my prayer. God, would you do that? God answers the mess of our life with one word, grace. Grace covers everything. So today, the challenge is for every one of us to let go of the anger that we have towards ourselves and embrace the grace that is offered to us through Jesus. And what better way to lean into and live into this reality than in communion? So communion is a time where we remember the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And as you think about it today, think about how his sacrifice means that he loves you, failures and all. Not when you get your life together. He loves you right now. The bread represents his body broken for you. The blood represents his blood that was shed for you. And as you receive the elements today, may they remind you of the grace in which you now stand. Your failures are gone. You are a child of God, and your future is secure. So I want to invite the ushers to come forward. The elements are going to pass. Take one of each. Think about that word that you want to circle, an area of your life that you might be mad at yourself. We're going to reflect and meditate on this as communion passes. Pat's going to lead us in another song that further leans us into this truth, and we're going to partake in communion together.
Hey, Community Pastor Ted Canaris here. Thanks for listening to our podcast today. If you were inspired, encouraged, or challenged by what you heard today, I just want to encourage you to join a small group. It's the best way to keep the conversation going and to dive into what we're talking about every week with others asking the same questions as you. The best way to do that is to text SGINFO, all caps, one word, SGINFO, to 313131, and we'd love to help connect you into a small group today. Thanks again, and have a great day.